Yeah.
Yeah. Do you wish you could see in the dark? I mean, some nights it's just pitch black. And like you get in a closed room. The one I think of is I went on this cruise one time, and it was this cabin in the bottom of the ship. And it was, there were no windows, and it was so dark when you turned off the light, you couldn't see anything. Now, it made sleeping good, but, you know, oh, man, I wish I could have seen in the dark. And, you know, a flashlight can help. And venturing out in the dark can be scary. But technology can help you do that. Does anybody know what a NOD is? Night optical device, not night observation device. Or NVG, night vision goggles. They're used a lot by the military and by police. And they started like a lot of technology where you'd hold something up and you could look in a screen and see it. But now they're very, very different. You know, one with a monocular, one times with two, sometimes four. And it helps you see in the dark. And the technology is just amazing. And you can put them on aircraft and you can put them on helicopters. You can see around. It's not just infrared, but it's even better. And you can see what others can't see. And you can see sometimes what you can't see. And the Bible has a name for that. It's called faith. Today I'm going to show you some examples of that and how to put it to use. And I hope you grab this because it'll change your life. 2 Corinthians says this, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." This word faith here in 2 Corinthians means to trust, to have assurance, to have belief, to have a conviction of the truth. You see, you can believe something. If you've given your life to Christ, you can believe something that others can't. You can believe in someone when others can't. I mean, it's like I have faith that she's going to, or I have faith that he's going to, or you have faith in God. God gives us faith. It's a gift. Listen to what Romans 12:3 says. "For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone is who among you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." You get this measure of faith from God. It means the measure. I'll tell you that it means enough. Some of the other Bible versions say you get the faith that God distributed. You get a degree of faith. If you remember the disciples, they were going to heal some folks, and they just couldn't heal them. And Jesus said, "You of little faith." You see, they weren't using the faith they had. And I'll tell you, God, just like with wisdom, God's not stingy with faith. And the closer that you get, and the more you use your faith, the stronger it gets. It's like a muscle. It's like the faith test. And here's my faith test. May not be yours. My faith test is, I'll bet my paycheck on it. I hear my brother say that quite a bit, so I thought I'd use it today. I'll bet my paycheck on it. So what will you bet your paycheck on? Well, so let's go with some easy ones. I'll bet my paycheck that the sun's going to come up tomorrow morning. And even if it's cloudy, the sun's coming up. I'll bet my paycheck that somebody this week will make me mad in traffic. I bet my paycheck on it. Huh? I'll also bet that my insurance premiums are going to go up this month when I pay them. I'll bet my paycheck on it. And here's one. Maybe, maybe not. You order from Amazon tonight, it'll be here tomorrow. Maybe. I don't know if I'd bet my paycheck on that. Or here's one, would you bet your paycheck on this? Everyone in your family is going to get along at Christmas. Yeah, I wouldn't bet my paycheck on that, you see. Or nobody's going to ever irritate me by texting at a red light in front of me. Yeah. No, but how about the one that always helps? How about the one that always answers your call? Like, if you call them, you know they'll come. There are some people in your life that may be like that with you where you'll say, yeah, I'll bet my paycheck on it. One of my daughters, she's a nurse now. When she was young, she was very sick. She was at Orlando Regional Medical Center getting what's called a PIC line put in. It's a line that goes in your arm, goes through, and it feeds medicine right into your heart. And the way that it's loaded is with, looks like a screen door, if anybody ever remembers what a screen door is. But it was a screen door spring. It's what it looks like. It's very minute. And the line is the size of a pencil lead. And they put it through your arm, and that line guides it. And then they pull that line, that spring out. But the spring broke. And the spring lodged in her heart. The x-rays confirmed it. The doctor felt like it was a problem. Man, it was a scary day. It was one of those days when you say, how can this happen? So I called a friend of mine, Jody Thomas. I said, Jody, man, I'm in need, brother. I'm terrified. Can you just come with me for a few minutes and be with me? I've got to comfort a daughter and a wife. I'm scared to death. He came. I had no doubt. I had no doubt that as soon as he heard it, he was stopping everything else he did. And he knew I was going to be at that hospital for several days. And he knew it was an outpatient procedure when it started. He brought $2,000 cash and stuck in my hand. He stayed with me 2 days. He said, you're going to need cash money. He still has never taken it back. You see, if I call him, I bet my paycheck on it. Due from something. He was there. Year after year, he showed you the way, nudging you. That's faith. You can bet your check on it. Year after year, he's answered your questions or provided you a way when there was no way. That kind of faith, that's night vision faith. Here's our scripture. I want to just get deep into you. We're going to get into the dark. You might need some nods for this, but listen. Hebrews 11:1. It's just one verse. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Once you get a hold of this, I'm telling you, it'll change your life. It'll change your outlook on how you believe in God and what you think about this one scripture. Faith is the substance. Faith is not something that's out there. It's a substance. Here's what the Greek translates out this substance for. It's a setting or placed under. So faith is a substance. It's placed under. It's set there. Who's it set there by? Who gave it to you? God. It says it's a foundation. It's like the foundation of a house. Faith is like the foundation of a house with cement, with rebar in it. It's solid. You can count on it. It's there. It's like a structure. It's built. It's got a purpose and a reason. It's firm. Faith is not spongy. It's firm. It's solid. Faith is believable. Faith is a substance. It's not out here. I'll tell you where it is. It's where God put it. Yes, in here. You can bet your paycheck on it. It's not a feeling. The NIV side note says that faith is the realization. Like there's things that have come to you before and you said, now I realize that. Like I didn't understand it before, but now I realize it. Faith is a realization. And it's the realization of things hoped for. This word in the Greek and hope, it says to wait with confidence. I want you to know, when I set that cell phone down and I took some combat breaths to calm down, in, hold five, exhale five, in five, hold five, exhale five, get my heart rate back down, oxygenate my blood, I knew that Jody Thomas was on the way. I knew that God would not let me down. It's waiting with confidence. It's a firm foundation that you can believe in. I'll call, they'll come. I ask God, He'll say yes. It's like Amazon. It's on the way. It's on the way. It's not like, this hope is not like, it's not this assurance where, man, I hope I hit the lottery or I hope I get a new car. No, no, no. No, it's not like that. It's life-saving faith. I mean, you had faith when you gave your life to Jesus Christ, right? I want to give my life to God. God, come into my life. You had faith then. And Christ, He did it. He said He would do it. You believed when you gave your life to Christ that your sin debt would be cleansed and taken away. You believed it. Well, it's true. You knew He'd forgive you. Romans 8 says this. This is what hope is. Faith is the substance, the foundation of things hoped for. I'm waiting and anticipating, knowing it's coming. It's coming. For in this hope we're saved. But hope that is seen is not hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait patiently, confidently for it. We don't have it yet. And maybe there's something you don't have yet. Maybe there's something you've been praying for and it's like, hadn't come yet. Don't worry. You made the call. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The evidence. Man, I love evidence. I love evidence. You know, evidence can convict you if you're wrong. Evidence can clear you if you're right. Evidence. It's the truth. In a trial where they present evidence, they're looking for the truth. Night vision. Evidence proves the case. Let me give you an example. You may be out in a dark jungle, and there's no moon, no stars. You can't see anything. But you hear the roar of a lion. And let me ask you, is it there? Yeah, it's there. You might not be able to see it, but it's there. You can smell it. You can feel it. Evidence is one you can bet your paycheck on. Look, I don't have to see God coming. I know He's coming. Amen. The bottom line is, just because you can't see it Doesn't mean it's not there. Invisible is not the same thing as not being there. It's a substance, solid rock. People of faith can see things that people not of faith can't see. It's like the soul seeing what your eyes don't see. That's faith. I'm sure you've been there. That's faith. See, what I want you to know is faith is like a pair of nods. You can see things that others can't see if you have faith. You have night vision. I want you to know it because you can believe what others won't believe about this. You have the faith of God. There was a Syrian king. He was at battle with Israel. And so the Syrian king had encamped around the army of Israel at a place called Dothan. They surrounded him. And the prophet Elisha was there. And Elisha's servant woke up early in the morning. And he saw this large army, the enemy army, the Syrian army, totally surrounding them. And he went back in and he told Elisha, and he was fearful. He knew that the end was near. And Elisha said this to him, and I want you to get this, because just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. 2 Kings 6, 16 and 17. Elisha said this to his servant, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Hey, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he can see." And then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. The Lord, in the end of this story in 2 Kings, struck the enemy with blindness. They were captured. They were taken away. Faith is the substance. You can stand on it. It's real. Of things hoped for, I'll bet my paycheck God's going to do this. Amen. The evidence. He's proved it over and over in your life. Over and over in your life of things not seen. Scripture has some examples. Follows after this scripture in Hebrew, but I'm just going to give you a couple of quick ones. It says in Hebrews 11:7, "By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear and prepared an ark for saving his household, by which he commended the world, he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith." He built an ark before it ever rained. God said, "Build an ark. The rain's coming." Hebrews 11:8, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called out to go to the place where he would receive his inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. He left Ur. God said, go. Where am I going to go in? Just go. And he went. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past this age, because she judged him faithful who had promised." She was too old to have a child. God said, "You're going to have a child." She had faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, he offered up Isaac, his son, who he had received the promise offerings up his only begotten son. And Moses, when he became of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He left Egypt. And it goes on. "And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also David and Samuel, the prophets, through whom faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violent fires, escaped the edge of the sword, out of the weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to fight the armies of the alien, and women received their dead raised to life again." is there something you've been hoping for? Something you've been waiting on from God? Something that only God can accomplish? We have the same faith that these guys did and girls. We had the same faith. Have you got something in the past that only God could deliver to you? And you know it? Do you want night vision to see where you're going? This week, just because I can't see it doesn't mean it isn't there. I want you to think about that. I want you to do that this week. Think about motorcycles. Just because I can't see it doesn't mean it's not there before you make a left turn. Just because I can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. What's God got for you? There may be things God wants to show you that you haven't conceived of yet. Maybe things you haven't asked for yet because you don't feel worthy. These people of faith, they weren't worthy. We aren't worthy, but we are through Jesus Christ because He gave us, cleansed us. He gave us the faith. Listen to Abraham. He fled to Egypt instead of staying. He sold his wife to save himself. God blessed him. Noah, he got drunk and naked. God blessed him. Sarah didn't believe God for a child, so she had her husband sleep with her maid. God blessed them. Moses killed a man unlawfully and then fled, and he disobeyed God directly when God told him to speak to a rock to get water. Instead, he struck it. God blessed him. You see, you are worthy. You have faith, a substance, something you can stand on. Show me, God, what I can't see. Show me what you want me to see, God. Yes. You see, He's wanting us to get involved with Him. He's doing stuff all around us. He's doing stuff in our lives. You've probably experienced it just in the last few weeks or months. And He's spinning around and He's around you. Yeah, you can't see Him. God, let Him see. Let Him see those that are for us are greater than those that are against us. That is for you. That's for me. God wants you to get involved with what He's doing. I pray that God will open your eyes. My prayer is that God will open your eyes so that you can see what God has planned for you, what He wants to accomplish through you, where He wants you to go that only maybe you can go individually with your circle of friends and circle of work. He wants you to take this faith that He's given you, that you can stand on. It's this substance. He wants you to take it, this foundation, this concrete. And He wants you to take it, and He wants you to hope expectantly. Make the call. He's coming. Ask God. He wants you to have it. And you'll see the evidence. Dear God, I thank You today for the fact that You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, so that we could have life. Father, You say You gave us faith. Just like You gave us the Holy Spirit. Just like You gave us salvation. Just like You washed us clean. Father, we know You did that. You gave us faith. So, Father, we right now, I ask that You would open the eyes of those here. Open the eyes of those listening. They would see that there are more for us than against us. And that they would believe expectantly in what Your plan is for their life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We're going to have communion. Gino's going to teach on communion next month. And communion is an important time. It's what we represent as God's body and blood. It's a new covenant. And it's for you. Yes. As Pastor Ramona said, we're going to hold our elements. Some denominations believe that the blood and the body are the actual blood and body of Jesus Christ. We believe that Jesus is present here. He's present with us, just like he was with the disciples the night of communion. That's what we believe, that Jesus is present, that the Holy Spirit is with us. And as we're coming up on Holy Week, Passion Week, as we're coming up on the time that Jesus was crucified, dead, and buried, it was that night, that Thursday night, when Jesus was with his disciples. He took the bread and he said, "Look, this bread that we're eating, it's my body, which I'm giving for you to have eternal life. Take it." And he also had the cup, the wine. And as they were finishing, he said, "This is the blood. It represents the blood of the new covenant." It was a fulfillment of prophecy. He said, "Take the blood." Dear Lord, we thank you that when we have communion, that you're here with us, that your Holy Spirit is among us. And Father, we thank you today that your Son gave his life ransom for ours. Father, may we today know confidently that our sins are forgiven, that we are righteous, and that you have given us faith so that we can see what others cannot. That we can see what you have for us. We thank you, Lord. We just praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're done. You can leave if you'd like. You can depart. Looking forward to seeing you again. And if you'd like prayer, we have folks that will pray for you up here, and we will pray for you. Don't forget the prayer box as we begin this month, and the prayer that we're going to have with the upper room. It's fitting that we're having communion, which was in the upper room. And we want to pray for you and your needs and your families. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. You're dismissed.
Yeah.